I love the reading this morning. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, unity is something that's very special to us. We begin family units with husband and wife. We bring children into the home and we try to make a united home. And how wonderful it is when the family can live together in peace and harmony. And there are many of us that understand when that fails. When families grow apart and when families have problems that seem to be unfixable. So we understand when unity leaves. And we understand that how wonderful it is when we are together and how difficult it is when we are apart. And from the church, the same thing is true. And the congregations need to strive for a unity, for a togetherness, for a love that many times that they can't achieve. You know, we talk about unity and we talk about fellowship, and we usually do so on a universal level, and the church as a whole, worldwide, how together we are. We teach the same thing, we believe the same thing, we live the same way. But we do so by keeping unity within each congregation. And we bring ourselves together as best as we can. Many of you are familiar with the term ecumenical, which is simply a word that is used to promote unity. It's been going on now in the religious world for a long time, where different religious groups, different denominations are trying to bring themselves together as one. Putting aside their teaching differences, their doctrinal differences. And in fact, over the last several years, there has been a new group that calls themselves non-denominational or interdenominational. And what that basically means is that every doctrine is accepted, every belief is accepted. You can come here and worship God, believe what you want to believe, live like you want to live, and everything is okay. That's how they fix problems within themselves. That's how they bring unity from among themselves. Many religious groups are now tolerating activities in society that at one time they refused to accept. Things that the Bible rejects, and I'm using, for example, homosexuality. A lot of our religious groups are now tolerating homosexuality. Some groups are even embracing it and promoting it within itself, even though the Bible is very strict and teaches emphatically against it. But this is their answer to try to bring everybody together. It's almost like, you know, you're like the ostrich. You stick your head in the sand and you hope that your problem goes away. The problem is, it never goes away. But somehow or the other, we need to work around all of our problems and bring ourselves together in Christ. We must be united here if we want to be united in the hereafter. We must make an effort here to work together, to live together, to serve together, to love together, for us to be able to do that on the other side. So today, we talk about unity and what it will take for us to unite ourselves in Christ. And that's the most important thing, is that we unite ourselves in Christ. What does the Bible teach about unity? Well, there are several scriptures that tell us exactly what the Bible has to say about it. First of all, we turn to John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. And here we are actually reading a prayer that Jesus is giving to his Father on behalf of unity. Verse 20 beginning, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." And Romans 12, verse 16, this is Paul talking now, and he says we need to be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble and do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 5 and verse 15, now may the God of patience and comforts grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. These are very important passages of Scripture that tell us that we need to bring ourselves together. We need to learn to put away the world, to bring our Christianity together as one. Jesus prayed for this. Lord, let them be like we are. Let us all be one. Let them be one in us. Let them be like us. And Paul echoes these words. He said, you need to be of the same mind. You need to be like-minded. You need to be of one mind. You know, one would have to be pretty dense not to be able to understand this. That as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must bring ourselves together and work together in every way. Now, in order to do this, we have to have a standard. You know what a standard is? It's a measurement. It's a ruler. We have to have a guide to go by, something that tells us the way things need to be that we can follow. The only problem is that sometimes when we follow the guide, it means that we cannot have our own way. Because, you see, we have our own set of rules. We have our own guides that we live by. And we don't want to follow just one rule. And it also means that you have sometimes have to follow someone else's rule. You may have to live by someone else's standards and not necessarily your own. Now we have standards, don't we? Sure we do. Time, for example, requires a standard. So therefore, we use the calendar and we use the clock. We used the same standard this morning when we got up to come here. Now, actually, this morning, my family used a different standard. This morning, I think Pat was already up. She might have been the one that did this. I don't know. But about 20 minutes before I was going to get up, ADT got us up. The alarms went off, the bells go off, the house is noisy, it's noisy on the outside. Every alarm is going off and we don't yet know why. Something happened to trigger our alarm this morning. So it wasn't the clock that got us up, it was the alarm service that got us up. But generally we use the clock. It's almost always on time, isn't it? Well, sometimes it gets off, but we use it just the same. We use the calendar as our clock as well. Did you know today is the last Sunday of this month? Next week we will be in the ninth month of the year. Where has 2019 gone? The calendar tells us these things, so we use that. In our country, law requires a standard. So we use the Constitution. Now, a lot of people don't like our Constitution in today's society, and they're looking to change it. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. There is a group of people out there that wants to do away with our Constitution and bring in a different law, a different standard for us to follow our lives by. I hope they fail. This one has worked for over 200 years, and there's no reason why it shouldn't keep working for another 200. But that's another story. But we use standards. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. We have standards that we use. You know, a standard generally requires submission. It requires obedience. You know, the thing that I looked most forward to when I was younger in life, in 1979, I was to become my own man. In 1979, you were an adult at age 21. Now, for some reason, the girls could do it at 18. Men had to wait till they were 21 to be an adult. And I could not wait till April 14th, 1979, when I became 21 years old. Because that was going to be the greatest day of my life, because no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me where to go. No one's going to tell me what I can spend my money on and what I need to do tomorrow. I am my own man. You know what I did on April the 15th, 1979? I got up by my alarm clock and I went to school, because I was told to go to school. I was told to be there for my class. Nothing changed. I am still an adult and I am still being told what to do. And then came September the 21st, 1984. And I'm going to be the head of the house now. You know, I've seen that job. I'm like Bill Cosby. I don't want it. I still had somebody telling me what to do. And next month we celebrate 35 years of her telling me what to do. And I've loved every minute of it, folks, let me tell you. But it's a standard. We live by standards, don't we? We have to be submissive to one another. Law is only as good as the person that obeys it. Rules are only as good as those who abide by it. Now, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I will hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now we have a standard. God's word is a standard. Your precepts give me understanding. They help me understand important things in life. If there is one place that you can go to help you understand important things of life, it is God's word. It's not the World Book Encyclopedia. Now, you kids don't know what I'm talking about when I say World Book Encyclopedia, because you've probably never seen one. You go to the internet. But there's a long stack of books, and I used them many times when I was in school. And they were sort of a standard, because they told how the world really was. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight, get this, I delight to do your will, O my God. Do y'all think that? Do we really think within ourselves how we love to do the will of God? Do we have that kind of relationship with God that we just naturally want to obey Him? Did we jump for joy when we got out of bed this morning because we were allowed to come here? We had a God who has done so much for me, and now I can do something for Him this morning through my worship. Did you think that when you got up today? You see, we need God's standards. But you know, instead, many people will try to set up their own standards. And even though they may do this with good intentions, good thinking, and sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Many people feel that they can just do as they feel. If it feels good, do it. Y'all remember that phrase? I think that came from the 60s. If it feels good, do it. Y'all remember that? A lot of people believe that, but yet what we feel may not be pleasing to God. For example, Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are a lot of people today that are going to say, Lord, Lord, and never really give Him a thought other than just saying, Lord, Lord. That's the extent of their worship today, is Lord, Lord. And they may wake up and they may think, Lord, Lord, and they'll close their eyes and go back to sleep. And then they'll get up later and go out and play tennis or watch TV or whatever it is you do on Sundays. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, that standard means that there is something that we must react to. The rule is there and we must conform to it. We must apply it to our lives. And we need to understand that. You know, some people believe in letting our conscience be our guide. And, you know, I would like to think that all of us in this room have a pretty good conscience, that we can pretty much mentally detain or understand the differences between right and wrong. But, you know, sometimes our conscience can be a misguide instead of a guide. For example, the Apostle Paul himself, Acts 23 and verse 1, he said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before my God until this day." Now, this is the same Apostle Paul that used to kill Christians. This is the same Apostle Paul who would gather them all up and take them and put them in jail because they were Christians. And now he works alongside of these people. But when he did that, he did it with a clear conscience. Why? Because it had been misinformed. His conscience was wrong. And you may be sitting here today and depend on your conscience every day of your lives and it being wrong the whole time. That's why you can't use it as a standard. You need to go somewhere else for your standard. Some people say, well, we just need to let Jesus be our standard. Okay, he said it. Let Jesus. That's right. Jesus is our example. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. We use Him for our standard. And you know, on the surface, that sounds really good, doesn't it? And most of you are thinking, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to let Jesus be our standard. Not necessarily. I don't see shock on y'all's faces when I said that. The reason I say that is because so many people misinterpret the words of Jesus. Jesus loves, so all we need to do is love. Jesus is not critical, so we don't ever need to be critical. Jesus always is positive, so we need to always be positive. Jesus never condemned, so we never condemn. Friend, there's not one ounce of truth in what I just said. Because Jesus did condemn, didn't he? Jesus was negative, wasn't he? Jesus pretty much told things the way they really were, didn't he? So we can't always think, oh, Jesus is just love and we just love and everything's all right. It doesn't work that way. But many people think that's how Jesus was, and he wasn't. So we can't say, let Jesus be our guide in everything, because we'll misinterpret what he actually means and what he actually said. So, what do? Well, there it is. You let the Bible, you let the Word of God be your standard. All of the words of Jesus must be obeyed. Not just the fact that he loves. Not just the fact that he don't want anyone to perish. But we need to use all of what Jesus has said. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall by no means pass away. John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. There's a flip side to that verse. If you don't follow the truth of Jesus, you will not be free. We have to follow the truth of Jesus. John 15, 3, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. There's that word again. That's what we use for our standard. Listen to this last one. John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. All of the words that he's spoken, not just the words about love, not just the words about understanding, not just the words about forgiveness, but all of the words of Jesus will be used to judge us in the last day. And we need to know that, my friends. It comes down to the Word of God. And Paul just kind of brings it all home. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do you equip yourself for every good work? By going to the Word. Because it takes care of everything. It gives you your instruction. It gives you your correction. It admonishes you. It tells you how to be righteous. It gives you everything that you need. There is where you need to go to find your standard. The Word of God. Some people have not learned the importance of listening to God. Bible unity is only achieved when we keep the truth as it has been given to us. And yet there are a lot of people who just simply will not accept that. We had people in the Bible who knew God's Word. They knew the truth. They knew the law. And they just simply refused to go by it. For example, Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu. Okay? They used strange fire when God had told them where to get the fire for the temple. Uzzah, 2 Samuel chapter 6. God had told the people, do not touch the ark. What does he do? Now, he did this in good intentions. It was about to fall, and he grabbed it to keep it from falling, but he still disobeyed God, and he was struck dead on the spot because he violated the law. And the same warning comes to us today. 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Say that again. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Do we understand that? How hard is that to understand? We must abide in the doctrine, in the Word of Jesus Christ. That's a must. And there's no way around it. You want unity? Yes, we want unity. It must be based on that same standard, that rule that comes from God's Word. Now, here's the best way to do that. Practice. Practice. Y'all ever practice anything? I know a lot of us in here have hobbies. Have hobbies that we dearly love to do. Didn't learn that overnight, did you? Didn't do it right the first time. Did you? You have to work at it. You have to practice. I was 9 years old when I started playing music, and I'd run my mother out of the house. She'd go sit with the neighbors while I practiced because I didn't do it very well. And I've done it now for over 50 years, and I still don't do it very well. But you have to get better at it, and the only way to do that is practice. That's not for music. That's for everything. Whatever you do, you're not going to get better at it until you work at it. Until you do it over and over and over again. Till you get so sick of doing it because you can't do it right. Then one day, there it is. You've done it. And it is after a long period of working at it. You have to work at it. Now, Paul gives us some advice here in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Okay, stop there. Now, we are sitting here as a congregation of God's people. Do we all think alike? Do we all have the same mind? Do we practice our Christianity together? Do we practice the same thing when we practice our Christianity? We have to use the same standard, because if this side practiced one thing and this side practiced another thing, we'd have to have two services because you wouldn't work together. We have to be one. We have to have the same mind. We have to have the same frame of mind for all of us to work together. And this pattern that we have to go by can only be accomplished when we work at it. Now, Paul tells us the pattern. And it gets pretty involved, I tell you. Ephesians 4, we have to have one body. Well, that's organization. We have a lot of organized people in here. I am not an organized person. If you don't believe that, go look in my office. I even mess Karen's office up every chance I get. We have to have one spirit. That means we have to have the right guidance. And we have the right guidance, folks. We have the Holy Spirit. We have to have one hope. Do we all have one hope? I do hope we have. And that is aspiration, that we are all have one goal in mind. We have to have one Lord. Of course we have to have one Lord. You can't have two or three. One faith. I would like to think that we all have one faith. One baptism. The Bible teaches of one baptism. If that's not the one you have, friend, you have the wrong one. Almost every religious group baptizes in one way or the other. Edith was telling us in class about two different baptisms that she has gone through. I know Wayne has gone. Where's Wayne? Wayne went through three. You have to have the right one. You have to have one. And one God. One God. I do hope everyone here today is to worship Jehovah God, right? We don't have any Allah worshipers in here, do we? No. We worship one God. And that's what, so Paul says, this is what it takes. You want to accomplish unity? You have one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And if you don't have that, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot have unity. It is necessary. Well, the big question, let's move on. I've got to move on fast. Is it possible for us to have the kind of unity that I've been talking about this morning? The answer, of course, is yes. Yes, we can have that unity. In fact, it is God's wish for all of us. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So yes, we can do it. But you know the biggest problem that we have to deal with in this is that not everybody wants to be a part of it. Not everybody is looking for unity. We have people that are looking to be different. We have people who want to stand out, who want to be out here by themselves, so people have to look over there at them and say, oh, look at him. We have people in the church that way today. Many people are not willing to repent of their lives. Not many people are willing to submit to the authority of Jesus. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now that's two things right there that we have to comply with. We have to comply with spirit worship and truth worship, or God is not going to accept it. Now what that means is, God has put limitations on us as Christians. Throughout the Bible, He has put limitations on us as to how we live. Now here, He has put limitations on us as to how we worship. We must worship in spirit. We must worship in truth. Now, Jesus already said, I have given you the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you have to worship that way. Now, I have had people of other faiths to tell me, you know, I really believe that y'all meaning the Church of Christ, that y'all have it right. I've even had denominational preachers say to me, your doctrine is much closer to the Bible than ours is. Really? Then why do you practice your doctrine? Why do you teach your doctrine? If you're not close to God, if you think we are close to God, why aren't you with us? Never have understood that. Because you see, it has to be truth. God just said it. It must be spirit and truth worship. And if you're not doing it, and you know you're not doing it, why not? Do you not remember the story of Abihu? Do you not know the story? They made one doctrinal mistake. Nadab and Abihu. One, what may look like small mistake doctrinally, and they were destroyed for it. Do you not remember Uzzah? He was trying to do a good deed by grabbing the ark to keep it from falling, and God struck him dead. Do you not remember Moses? Moses did not get to go into the land of Canaan because it made a big difference to God whether he spoke to a rock or whether he hit it. And that was a tiny thing. And you tell me that our doctrine is closer than your doctrine, but you're going to stay where you are? What sense does that make? God said, I've got to have it one way. Many ways don't get it done. We've got to use the right standard. We've got to use the same rule. Friends, our primary thought needs to be to stand behind God, His Word, His commands, His desires. Because when all is said and done, we will stand before God and we will not be judged by a creed book. We will not be judged by a manual. We're not going to stand before a committee. We're going to stand one-on-one with God. And do you know what He's going to use for judge? He's going to use the Word. The same Word that you're holding in your hand right now. That's what He's going to use to judge us by. And if what you think, what you feel, what you believe is not in harmony with what that Word says, you better make the changes. Because God's Word is not going to change. And we need to understand that. May we all strive to put God first in our lives. Through service and through worship. Because He's not going to accept anything else. I ask you in closing this lesson, are you united with Christ today? Today, if you're not a Christian, you're not united with Christ. You can unite with Him by giving your life to Him through obedience to the gospel. The Word has told us what to do. To believe on that Word. To repent of a former life of sin and separation from God, to confess the Lord Jesus as His Son, and to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. That's what the Word says. And friends, you can try to twist it, and you can try to change it, and you can cut it out of the book, and it doesn't matter. It's still there, and it's not going to change. Because that's the Word of God. Christian friend, it may be that you're not united with Him anymore. That you've let the world slip back into your life. That you have put other things in front of you. Changed your standard by what you live by. I have to tell you, that Word is still the same. It has not changed. It will not change. You need to conform your life to His once again. Use the right standard. Because if you use the right standard, we can have unity with God. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.